How do our actions contribute to creating or alleviating the hell on earth that we see in our world today? Welcome once again to Good Lion Theology, where we answer your questions about faith. In a previous episode, Aaron explored the concept of hell on earth, a striking idea that through our actions, inactions, and the brokenness of others, we can play a part in unleashing the destructive forces of sin and death in our daily lives. In today's episode, we answer a cautionary question from a listener about how we can contribute to spreading the forces of darkness into the world. It's about the here and now, where we see the impacts of lies, gossip, manipulation, and self-serving behavior that erode trust, fracture relationships, and cause pain. Today, Aaron will unpack how we can identify the roots of suffering in our lives, whether it's from our own sin, the sins of others, or the fractured state of our world. He'll explore how we can leverage what Saint Augustine calls the twin daughters of hope to reclaim joy, integrity, and love through Jesus' radical mission of transformation. Aaron will offer practical ways to live out this vision, sharing how the path out of hell isn't just about escaping despair, but about stepping into the fullness of life that Christ promises. It's about finding courage through Jesus' example and mercy to challenge injustice, love our neighbors, and shine light in the darkest places. So, join us as we walk through how to reclaim hope and discover joy in living beyond the world's logic and despair. Now, here's your host, Pastor Aaron Salvato.
All right, let's jump into another question. All right, I really like this one. It says, Aaron, in your episode, you touched on hell as a present reality as well as a future one. This concept of hell on earth struck a chord with me. Could you elaborate on how we as individuals can contribute to creating or alleviating these hellish conditions in our daily life? Man, what a good question. So to back up, for anyone tuning in for the first time, maybe you haven't heard some of the previous episodes. In the previous episodes, we talked about this idea of how in theology, when we talk about how the kingdom of heaven is already but not yet, it is a future final reality. God is going to bring his kingdom, but we can experience his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, here and now. That's why Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is coming, but he also says the kingdom is at hand and the kingdom is among you. That idea of inaugurated eschatology is kind of at the cornerstone of my theological bent, but I also think that we should view hell the same way. I think hell is a final future destination, but through our actions, our inactions, and the sinful actions of others, the forces of hell, the powers of hell, can be unleashed into this present reality. And that's quite literally what the powers of sin and death are. So I'm going to read the question one more time. The concept of hell on earth struck a chord with me. Could you elaborate on how we as individuals can contribute to creating or alleviating these hellish conditions in our daily lives? So here's the thing. When we perpetuate injustice through words or actions or even our indifference, we can sow the seeds of hell. When we lie and cheat and gossip and manipulate for our own gain, we create an atmosphere where trust dies and where relationships can unravel and people get hurt. And we see it in the little decisions that chip away at love and mercy and integrity. Every time we feed our egos and nurse our pride, we're contributing to a hell on earth, a world filled with selfishness, division, and pain. I think young adult Christians today face their own unique challenges that often lead them to choices that perpetuate this hell on earth that I'm talking about. So let's look at some real tangible examples. One is online behavior. Social media makes it so easy to anonymously hide behind our keyboards and criticize or gossip about others. Things like subtweeting or sharing quote-unquote harmless memes that are actually mocking and putting down others. It can be this form of cruelty that can tear others down rather than build others up. And also, social media is its own unique hell on earth at times, because depending on your algorithm and what the algorithm is sending you, social media can be this hellscape of temptation and lust. Everything you look at is trying to tempt you to sin and stumble with your eyes and your mind. Or division and discouragement. Everything you look at is just doom scrolling and just negativity about all the horrible things going on in the world. And we can perpetuate that. We can participate through things like objectifying ourselves on social media, posting in a way that is saying, hey, look at me and sexually objectify me. I'm going to dress and pose and look a way that I know is going to get likes and comments because I've seen it work for the Kardashians. And I'm experiencing this emptiness and this lack of fulfillment. And so now I'm going to go on and sacrifice myself, my own body, on the altar of broken human sexuality so that the internet gods of likes and comments will give me what my soul craves rather than finding our acceptance and our fulfillment in Christ. And by the way, that is a cross-gender thing too. I am not just talking about the ladies here. Social media has become a place where both men and women objectify themselves through the way that they post and pose and act. And it can feel so gratifying, but most people you talk to will tell you that that gratification does not last, and there's a profound emptiness that comes afterwards. Or consider this other tangible example, workplace culture. How can we unleash hell on earth when it comes to our work? In competitive environments, the pressure to get ahead can be absolutely overwhelming. The culture of the modern workplace is one that is full of trying to play the game to prove your worth, to prove your value, dealing with organizations and corporations that don't actually see you much as a human, but more as a workhorse to get their bottom line accomplished. And so there can be this pressure of, I've got to do what it takes to get ahead and to achieve the American dream. And this can lead to lying, exaggerating your accomplishments, or undermining your colleagues to gain a promotion or recognition, or through gossip and complaining, fostering a toxic culture of distrust and self-interest. Think about your own experience with work. How many of you have come home from work and just said, oh, that was hell. This week has been hell. Quite often, the reasons behind that feeling is because flawed, broken humans were looking out for their own self-interests, which causes an environment of brokenness and stress and anxiety and frustration and despair among the workers. I think every single one of us has probably suffered from that hell and contributed to it. Think about relationships. How do we unleash hell into our relationships? In romantic relationships, there is a temptation to prioritize one's desires over genuine commitment. And this is such a common thing. One thing I dealt with all of the time when it came to pastoring young men is in this pornified culture that constantly objectifies both young men and women. For so many young men, they get into these relationships. And instead of looking at a young woman and saying, this is God's daughter, this is my sister, she is valuable, she is precious, her integrity should be protected at all costs. Instead, the flesh ends up driving the relationship. And the thought is, this is my person. I have some sense of ownership over them. And so I'm going to pressure them into sexual situations over and over again so that I can get the fulfillment I crave. But the cost that is paid is that that fulfillment is achieved through compromise, through sin, through guilt, through shame, and through brokenness. And it gets even more tragic when these relationships end up really just manifesting as leading someone on without intending to build a serious relationship with them, which can leave both young men and women that this happens to emotionally scarred. It is a hellish situation to put your trust and love into a relationship with someone else and then have it end to only feel used and abused. And it is far too common that this happens. Another way this happens is through peer pressure, which is such a like cliche 90s Christian phrase to use, but I mean, it's been around since before that. I just associate it with youth group in the 90s. We would always talk about peer pressure, but it's a real thing. Going along with the crowd, yeah, it can help us fit in, but so often it leads to harmful choices that unleash hell into our lives. As a former youth pastor, I can tell you story after story of young people who I loved dearly, who I still love dearly, but I had to watch them hang out with people who I knew like this. Yes, I know they're your friends, but these people are going to pressure you into things that you actually don't want to do. And time after time, I would see people get sucked into the hole of alcohol and drug addiction and cheap, unfulfilling, meaningless sexual experiences. And the saddest thing is, again, it comes from us valuing more what other people think of us than the things that God knows about us, which are that He knows every mistake we've ever made, past, present, future, and He chooses to love us and bend over backwards for us to invite us into His family and to a life that is filled with freedom. And yet we let others pressure us into opening up the doors of hell into our life, and it is so common to see this happen. These are just a few examples, but these everyday choices can perpetuate a hellish atmosphere. I have talked to so many people struggling and battling with their addictions. They're past the point where it was fun, and now they're watching it destroy their life, and they will tell you, yeah, I'm a Christian, but my life feels like hell. That's what I'm getting at. Man, that question got a depressing answer. Let's see if we can maybe turn this around and point to something positive. Here's a quote that I think will be helpful. This is from Saint Augustine. He says, "Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain the way that they are." I think the antidote lies in there. When it comes to hell on earth, we have to trace it back to the source. It's all gonna come back to sin. And let me back up for a second, because I am not suggesting that if you're listening to this and you or someone that you know is struggling with something like cancer, that it's because of a sin issue in their life. That is a horrible theology that some people teach, and I just think it is so unbiblical and warped and perverted. But what I'm trying to say is we have to look at the suffering in our life and ask the question, is this suffering a result of sin in my life? Is it something I've done? Sometimes that's a very clear answer. We can look at the pile of bottles next to our bed and go, okay, my abusive substance has led me to this hell I am currently living in. And say, okay, yeah, my abusive substance has led me to this hell that I'm currently dwelling in. Other times, the hell on earth that we're in is because of someone else's sin. Someone might have hurt you. Someone might have abused you. Someone might have taken advantage of you and betrayed your trust and wounded you. And now you're living in the fallout. They broke everything and left you to pick up the pieces. That is a horrible, hellish place to be in. And other times we can just trace it back to the reality of the first sin of Adam and Eve. The brokenness of this entire world can be traced back to our first parents who unwittingly, in a moment of curiosity and a moment of distrust for Yahweh, joined forces with the enemy. They unwittingly became a part of the demonic rebellion and dragged all of the rest of us into it. Regardless of which of those three it is, we have to look at what Augustine calls the two beautiful daughters of hope, anger and courage. We must first feel anger at suffering. Have you ever stopped to consider that, the importance of having a sense of anger towards your own sin? Too often we view sin as like a cute little puppy that is biting our ankles. Do you ever go over to someone's house and their dog is being an absolute savage, but they don't see it because they have an affection for the dog, and so they just go, oh, he's all right, he's fine. He does that sometimes. That's how we treat our sin, rather than treating it as a ravenous wolf, a wolf with rabies out to kill and steal and destroy. If that wolf is in your house trying to destroy your family, you will have anger, a protective anger that puts you into fight or flight mode. That is how we should view our sin. We should hate our sin for what it does to ourselves and what it does to others. So yes, first, anger is needed, and then courage. The courage to be honest and to admit our sin and to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, change, ruthlessly change what is into mercifully what can be. We find such courage not through our own strength alone, but through leaning upon a power greater than all earthly powers. In yielding our will to Christ, we can find the courage to take up our cross in His name. The initial path out of hell is salvation through Jesus Christ. That saves us from a future hell. But when it comes to the daily hell that we can live through in this present life, the surest path out of that hell is through voluntarily suffering like the suffering servant did. And what I mean by that is the good kind of suffering, like a good workout, right? No pain, no gain. It is suffering to let go of our sins because, yes, we love them and they give us comfort and they make us feel at ease in the beginning. But it is sweet poison that we are drinking that slowly kills us. It is hard to give up what we love, but in exchange, we gain something so much better. We escape the injustice of the sin in our lives by devoting ourselves to the work of true humble justice, the work of loving God and loving neighbor. This path out of hell is a radical invitation. It turns the world's logic on its head. It calls us into something deeper than simply seeking our own comfort and pleasure. When we turn to Christ, His mercy meets us. When we lift our eyes beyond our own fallen state, and we join Him in loving those who are in need. When we forgive others because we have been forgiven, there's a lightness to this way of life because it's shared with Jesus, the one who walks alongside us, shouldering the weight of our burdens and offering rest for our souls. His mission is He is determined hour by hour to pull us out of the darkness and into the light, to allow us to become a part of this hope that transforms misery into joy and carries us from our tears and suffering into the eternal light. This is our hope. It calls us from the depths of misery to the joys of His presence. The goal of the Christian life is not merely about escaping hell, whether it's the present hell or the future hell. The goal is to find ourselves being truly alive through the power and presence of Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Good Lion Podcast. We hope it inspired you to think and encouraged you on the path of the way of Jesus. Perhaps you have struggled with feeling trapped in your sin, imprisoned in a hell of your own making, or even a hell as a result of how others have hurt you. To that, we offer this encouragement. In John 10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He invites us to reject the path that steals joy and step into His kingdom, where justice, peace, and love prevail. Isaiah 61 reminds us of God's heart for those who are burdened. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Jesus offers this radical invitation, a way to live in alignment with God's love and forgiveness that helps us break free from the chains of sin and step into the fullness of His grace. By embracing His call to love God and love others, we can start living out true humility and justice. As we forgive and show compassion, we walk out of the darkness and into His light, finding rest and peace in his presence. This week, remember that the goal isn't simply to escape a future hell, but to live fully through Jesus' power and presence. Isaiah 40 encourages us, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This podcast is a production of Good Lion Ministries, a ministry devoted to helping Christians practice the way of Jesus and fall more deeply in love with a God who is not safe, but is very good. For more resources, visit us at goodlion.org. Our ministry is made possible through the generous support of our donors. To help support our work, please visit goodlion.org/support. If this episode gave you hope, share it with someone who could use encouragement. We'd love to hear your thoughts and questions for future episodes too. Now, until next time, may you find joy and light in the presence of the everlasting grace of God.